Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you today. It's 800-941-SEAN. It's a toll-free number. You know, one of the funniest things that, you know, the president, President Trump wiped dandruff off the jacket of the French president at the first state dinner. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. You can't make it up. And then the French president addressing a joint session of Congress today. Although he's wrong on a number of things, which is fine. I mean, what we're supposed to in this country believe in robust and vigorous and passionate debate and the free and the open exchange of ideas and opinions. And you know what it's like in snowflake land America today. So many people are offended at everything. You know, everybody's offended. Everyone feigns being offended. You know, I love the idea that you can actually turn off a radio dial or a TV dial. Don't do it, by the way, ever, because we don't want you to do that. But you can't make people watch. You can't make people listen. You can't. And that's the irony in all of this. The left, the proponents of free speech, you know, the free speech movement, they liberally are, they're literally out there trying daily almost to silence speech. Remember, I came back after, when was it, after the Christmas break. Remember, Linda, one of the first things I said was, I am so jealous of Howard Stern. Remember I said that? Because
you've said that many times, because he can say whatever he wants.
And the thing is that, I actually hesitate to say this, and I don't think he liked that I was fighting Jimmy Kimmel, because I think he's BFF with Jimmy Kimmel, which I'm fine with. I don't really give a flying rip anymore. But the thing is, I listen to these interviews and I'm like, good for him. He gets to, they're the most honest, open discussion. It's real. That's the only way to put it. It's real. And if somebody doesn't like to listen to him, you know, you literally have to work hard to get him. In other words, you have to have satellite radio. You have to have this. You have to, it's just, so you have to work, and people do. And the point is, it's refreshing. But I'll tell you, the people that are clamped down on the most in America are conservatives. And the irony of all ironies. I mean, it was actually a good thing that Bill Maher stood up for Laura Ingraham. He's never stood up for me. And Rush, Mark, Laura, others, we were the ones standing up for him back in the politically incorrect days. I mean, but it's some people just don't like voices and they want to fire them, especially in this day and age. You know, you think of the last year on this program and on television and what we have exposed. And I say we, I mean we. And I give credit to everybody that I'm staring at here on the radio show, Sweet Baby and Linda and Lauren and Ethan and our wonderful engineer with the best mohawk, Jason, in the history of the world, and Stanginator and all. We have a team here. We have a team on television. Too many people to name there. And then you have great reporters like Sarah and John Solomon, Sarah Carter, and she broke huge news last night. And Greg Jarrett has done phenomenal. He's sharing with me his book. Oh, it is going to be massive, and it is going to be huge. And anyway, so we what have we found? We've identified specific crimes committed by Hillary. Now we're identifying crimes that we see in potentially Andrew McCabe referred for a criminal referral. All of these people we have done a deep dive into, it appears, have violated laws. They're all up to their eyeballs in trouble. Comey is in trouble because of leaking classified information. I'm going to get to all that in a minute. You know, we discovered that a fix was in, an investigation was rigged, an exoneration, you know, one draft after another before even investigating and interviewing the key people, including Hillary herself, 17 other people. And I go through all this. I can't believe it's happening in this country, but it is. The media has been just chanting Stormy, 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 or Russia, Russia, Russia. Rod Rosenstein, two Thursdays ago, said to Donald Trump, no, you're not the subject of the investigation of Mueller or anything involved in the New York investigation. Well, that's basically saying after all this time, a year of Mueller, there's no Trump-Russia collusion. And they're not going to get to Trump-Russia collusion. And then you think of, okay, well, nobody cared about a primary being rigged by Hillary, and Bernie never had a shot. I would care if I was a Democrat. I would care if I'm a Bernie supporter. And then, of course, then it leads into, you know, we did find information about Russian interference, but we were warned about it by Devin Nunes 2 weeks before the election. Obama was laughing. No serious person would ever believe that our elections could be tampered with in any way. Stop whining, Donald Trump. And then we find out Russian lies and propaganda paid for by the Clinton campaign and the DNC finances that Donna Brazile says she's running, funneling money through a law firm, not identifying it as the proper expense that it is. Then hiring Fusion GPS, they're saying there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion now. Got to give it up. We haven't found it. And then hiring a foreign national, Christopher Steele. I thought outsiders weren't supposed to influence our elections. Everyone forgot. Alan Dershowitz reminded me on TV the other night. The Obama administration was working hard and State Department dollars were used to defeat Bibi Netanyahu. John McLaughlin has spoken often about this as well. And then, of course, the FISA judge being lied to, the FISA judge, you know, being presented so-called evidence, the bulk of information from the dossier was never verified, never corroborated, and it's presented to a judge in the original application, three subsequent judges, as if it's gospel truth, never being told that it was opposition party candidate paid for Russian uncorroborated information. It's unbelievable. And that's where we are. And so the French president today rails against fake news. I'm like, yeah, that's all we pretty much have gotten in this country. And anybody that dares to tell the truth, you know, they come under massive fire, but there's not a lot of us. That's the point. Now everything we said was being proven true. And it turns out not to be true. You know, and then the irony of all ironies, if ever a question of arrogance and elitism in the media, look at Jim Acosta of fake news CNN. You know, Acosta says too many Americans can't see through President Trump's act because they don't have all of their faculties. Well, that's the same arrogance that this, you know, these upper echelon elites that are now being exposed had, thinking that the American people are stupid. And that they made a mistake and that they know better, which is part of why they acted the way they did, protecting Hillary to begin with, facilitating the investigation into Trump both before and after the election. And then an attempt to delegitimize, you know, a sitting president and literally handcuff him from doing his job by occupying, you know, half his day or more every day involved in a false narrative that they've always known as false. I mean, I can't believe, you know, he sits down, you know, with Variety this week and lamenting the fact, what he said, large scale intellectual void affecting the population. He says, the problem is people around the country don't know it's an act, he said. They're not in on the act. And they take what he says very seriously. And they take attacks from Sean Spicer and Sarah Sanders and what they do to us on a daily basis very seriously. They don't have all their faculties in some cases. This elevator might not hit all floors. And my concern is that a journalist is going to be hurt one of these days. Wow. Okay. We don't want anybody ever getting hurt. Nobody has said that. But, you know, for the last 2 years, the fake news media has done their very best to demonize and delegitimize this president. And it works both ways, Mr. Acosta. And during this time, what, we've had Madonna boasting to hundreds of thousands of people that she dreams of blowing up the White House. Kathy Griffin waving around Trump's severed head. We've had plays in Central Park depicting Donald Trump getting stabbed to death. Envelopes filled with mock anthrax sent to Trump family members. We don't want this happening to anybody in this country. You know, it's pretty amazing how people seem to act here and how short their memories are. Maybe all the elevators aren't going up in Jim Acosta's head, if you want to use his analogy. Why? Because people disagree with him? It's pretty breathtakingly stunning to me, the level of arrogance in the media. You know, like every other job, I know I've given my list of jobs 1,000 times. I'll save you the boredom of it. But every job is about serving people. In other words, on this show, we're a talk show. As a talk show, sometimes we do straight interviews, straight news, just news of the day. Other times we're doing opinion. We're like a newspaper. News, editorial page. Sometimes we even do sports and pop culture and all aspects. So it's called opinion journalism, advocacy journalism. It's all rolled into being a talk show host. Americans know I don't hide the fact that my opinion is that I think Donald Trump's doing a great job and that I want this to continue. I don't hide my opinions that I think the deep state has been up to bad news. Now, I'll give you some examples of it. You know, there's a new lawsuit seeking records on Comey's meetings with Obama. This is going to be interesting. The lawsuit filed in federal court Wednesday seeks records to determine the actual numbers of times and reasons the FBI director, Comey, then met with President Barack Obama. Two organizations filed this request because the former FBI director claimed he rarely met with Obama. He was independent, nonpartisan leader of the nation's top law enforcement agency. Now he's in legal jeopardy today, as I pointed out. And we have Comey tapping, you know, now into more legal. He's literally lawyering up at this point, which we told everybody would happen. No smart lawyer would have allowed him to write this book. Nobody. And then go on this book tour. You know, so now it's been revealed that he hired a personal attorney, he says, nearly a year ago. Guy's name is former special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. Well, he's the guy involved in the Scooter Libby, what I refer to as a perjury trap. On day one, Patrick Fitzgerald knew that the leaker in the Valerie Plame case, and she wasn't a covert agent, was Richard Armitage. And that's what he was appointed to investigate. And he knew who it was on day one. But he kept the investigation going. And that's the problem with the special counsel law to begin with. He represented me since I was fired, he said, at a Washington reception. Guess a bunch of liberals were invited. I didn't get my invitation to this. Anyway, so the college professor that he leaked the classified information to, you know, in this plot to get the special counsel hired in this particular case, Daniel Richmond, Comey gave the memo leaked co-conspirator. He gave him a job in the FBI. That's other news that people didn't know.
All right, so you could have harsh treatment to look younger. Why would you risk that? Now, Joanne from Connecticut writes, my husband looks 10 years younger because of Genucel. Now, he saw results the first day he used it, and I have also had remarkable results. I can't live without it. Now, imagine bags and puffiness under your eyes gone forever, and sagging, drooping eyelids gone forever. It may take years off your appearance. In fact, you're guaranteed to have immediate results in as little as 12 hours or your money back, guaranteed, no questions asked. And now until Mother's Day, well, if you order Genucel, you can try Chamonix's brand new Genucel Eyelid Lift if you have droopy, sagging eyelids absolutely free. Order now. Chamonix will include also a surprise luxury gift. That's free. Just go to Genucel.com, Genucel.com. Call 800-SKIN-509, 800-SKIN-509. And if you call now, express shipping is also free. 800-SKIN-509, 800-SKIN-509, Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com.
Elections matter, so the Supreme Court hearing arguments on Trump's terrorist travel ban which has always been incorrectly described by people on the left. NPR says the Trump administration's travel ban reached the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday. At issue is the third version of the ban, which the president has complained is a watered-down version. The court allowed it to go into effect while the case was being litigated, but the lower courts have ruled against it. Remember, they went judge shopping out of the Ninth Circuit in that original case. Anyway, all three versions say it violates federal law or unconstitutional. But if you read the tea leaves, well, you can kind of sense sometimes, and sometimes you're wrong, but it seems like that this will go the president's way this time. If I had to venture a guess, I'm based on what I'm reading. Anyway, at the argument, those challenging the ban were being represented by a lawyer who has argued landmark cases in the Supreme Court, both for and against executive power in the context of national security. It's unconstitutional, it's unnecessary, and most of all, it's un-American, he maintained. But before he could make that case, he was going to have to deal with the government's first argument that foreign nationals outside the U.S. have no constitutional rights and no right to litigate in U.S. courts, and that the courts have no power to review the president's ban. And the Supreme Court has said on many occasions that when it comes to a national security issue, the executive, well, he's the one that has information the court is not privy to. And in other words, he'd have to come up with a, as who said it, John Malcolm, vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, you know, literally said that the executive need only come up with a legitimate bona fide reason to keep certain people. Remember, the ban was for only just people in a few countries. And actually, Chad was recently lifted off the list that took place there. So we'll get to all of that in the course of the program. The other breaking news that we have, I'm going to get into at the time. We're literally looking into this now. Comey now has appeared to lawyer up in a big, big way. We've got some new information that I'm going to share with you right after the top of the hour. The Comey memo literally now has put James Comey in legal jeopardy. Even Jeffrey Toobin on CNN is saying the same thing. And a new lawsuit seeking records on Comey's meetings with Obama. That is news that we're going to dig deep into as well. And when Jeffrey Toobin goes against Jim Comey, you know Jim Comey has a big problem. And that's a really big problem. And the fact that he hired Patrick Fitzgerald speaks volumes. So we'll get to all of this. Sarah and David Schoen and Greg Jarrett all coming up. And we'll have the latest news out of Washington as we continue.
Are notes about a conversation with the president taken by then a private citizen, are those classified?
They may or may not be. And in fact, administration or Congress released those some versions of those memos, some of the portions were blacked out. I think James Comey actually is in a pretty vulnerable position here. Just because something is not marked classified doesn't mean that after the fact it couldn't be retroactively designated classified. I think Comey may really have a problem there.
I think Comey may even have a problem. I mean, there's nobody more liberal on television and usually more wrong on the law than Jeffrey Toobin. And then he was asked another question. In other words, when the president tweeted out, you know, James Comey illegally leaked classified documents to the press in order to generate a special counsel. Therefore, the special counsel was established based on an illegal act ? Really, does anybody know what that means, Jeffrey? What is the president implying here? And Toobin goes on, well, what he's saying is that when James Comey took those memos that recounted his conversations with the president and gave them to this Professor Dan Richman at Columbia, and I am beginning to get rumblings that there may also have been to other people, he wrote, that was an illegal leak, especially since he considered he knew Richmond was going to give it to the press. Now, this is a big, huge, you know, when you think of the hysteria and breathlessness Trump-Russia collusion, and when you think of everything that we have been doing separate and apart, this whole team of people that we've put together I was talking about, and you know, unpeeling the layers of onions, as I've been telling you about. I won't go through it all. And we're now at the point where all of these criminal referrals are taking place. It's all happening. The deep state is literally, we're one card away and this thing is going to come tumbling down. I mean, it is a pretty remarkable turnaround. Now, the media is not going to focus on it. It is a mere moment in time for them. But it shows that even they now are beginning the process of having to understand what's going on here. And you see now James Comey lawyering up in a major way. And he gave this, leaked this. We know 4 of the 7 were classified that he gave to this Columbia professor and others. Well, now I keep saying, what did I say to James Comey before the book tour? What lawyer would let him write that book? What lawyer would let him do all these interviews? And when you have CNN saying, yeah, that's an illegal act. And the question is there equal application under the law? The irony of all ironies here is that it's 18 U.S.C. 793. You know, mishandling classified information. Now, we've told you the story about the sailor, Christian Saucier. He was sentenced to 1 year in jail based on the same law. A guy that was proud of his job. He worked on a U.S. submarine. He took 6 pictures just for himself, never posted them on social media. Convicted, 1 year in prison, went to jail away from his mother, who's been on his program, his wife, and his young, recently born daughter. Okay. Well, if applied to him and applied to many other people, why not in Hillary's case? And the irony is it was James Comey that worked so hard, even though the evidence was overwhelming, incontrovertible, that there was never been a stronger case against any one person than Hillary Clinton. And by mishandling, destroying classified information by purposefully trying to avoid congressional oversight, and putting it on that server, Platts River Networks, you know, in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet. You know, yesterday's discussion was fascinating. There's a possibility that maybe those deleted, acid washed, you know, emails may still exist. So that's going to this is now just the beginning. These are the top people. This is not rank and file FBI guys. The people that I know today that are most angry are FBI intelligence people, because they all know how strict the laws are. They all are trained in how strict the laws are. There was another shocker today, you know, and this was in The Hill. Even fake news outlets like the New York Times and CNN are now so concerned about Robert Mueller's no-knock midnight raids on suspected Russiagate targets. Oh, yeah. Let me see. They had business dealings in 2005 in the Ukraine. Let's investigate that. Can we get further away from Trump-Russia collusion in 2016? Well, anyway, now these news outlets, so-called news outlets, fake news outlets that have been wrong so often in the last year and a half and have been so agenda-driven in the last year and a half, and we've exposed their agenda. Anyway, you know, one of these raids conducted with guns drawn. You know, now they're demanding to see what evidence Mueller presented to the court to justify such abusive tactics. You got a coalition of news organizations now asking a federal judge to make public the materials used by the special counsel Robert Mueller to obtain search warrants in his probe into Russia's role in the 2016 elections. This is the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, Politico, the AP, filing a joint motion on Tuesday asking the court to unseal affidavits, warrants, seizure records filed by Mueller's team. And the motion argues that the sealed materials could contain information of public interest and provide details about the direction of Mueller's investigation and the basis for the FBI raids. And some of the documents related to the warrants obtained by Mueller have remained under wraps now for several months, which is an unusually long period of time. Well, okay. I mean, if this is the new standard, why wouldn't you? By the way, there's a whole series of new emails that have actually been released as it relates to Hillary Clinton. Our friends at Judicial Watch put it out. 281 pages, newly uncovered emails, former Secretary of State Clinton at the State Department that she sent or received over that unsecure non-state.gov email system. Emails dated 2010 through 2013 indeed contain classified information. They detail collusion between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. 10 of the emails contain classified information redacted, quote, in the interest of national defense or foreign policy, including
Confidential sources concern Israel and the Middle East, and most of the emails include exchanges with former Prime Minister Tony Blair. The emails show that Hillary Clinton conducted classified, sensitive negotiations about the Israeli-Arab conflict on her unsecured non-government server. You can't make it up. 10 of the emails classified information in the interest of national defense, foreign policy. You know, all of this is in there. Document labeled, quote, a plan was completely redacted as classified. A November 2012 email chain discusses Mideast and includes Deputy Chief of Staff Jake Sullivan and Hillary Clinton. Another email chain discusses Mideast, includes Sullivan, Clinton's office manager, and Tony Blair. Another email chain, fully redacted, Mideast peace, includes Blair, Clinton, Obama's special envoy to the Middle East, Sullivan, Blair's chief of staff, and former Downing Street aide named Catherine Rimmer. In April of 2011, an exchange between Blair, Clinton, Sullivan concerning Israel. Blair's, this is all on this unprotected server. All of it classified. All of it a crime. Every bit of it. Saying, Hannity, you're getting into the... Why do we have these laws? Why did Christian Saucier go to jail for a year? For six pictures of a submarine, you know, probably 50 years old that he was proud of working in and he shared with nobody. You know, there's so much happening. And you think last week, all of these criminal referrals, the congressional criminal referrals, the IG criminal referral, McCabe, now you got James Comey criminal referrals. This is all beginning to collapse all around us. You know, nobody will talk about, you know, any of the president's success. I don't expect the media to ever do that. Why would they ever do that? But anyway, the explosive report from Sarah Carter is going to join us at the top of the hour. You know, this revelation, serious misconduct, some of the highest levels in government. Again, multiple sources saying that fired FBI deputy director Andrew McCabe, he was number two at the FBI. I grew up, I worshiped the FBI. I was telling the story the other day. I mean, my cousin Billy Kerwin and his sister Maureen Kerwin. You know, my best gift I ever got was a police hat, a billy club, and handcuffs and a badge that he gave me for one Christmas. I still have the billy club today. Anyway, and two of my cousins made it to the FBI. It was the greatest thing ever. The highest achievement. Remember, my grandparents, like many of yours, came here, no money, nothing. And that to them was, you know, a dream job, a dream life, dream career. And if you look at, and by the way, and that's 99.9%. You don't sweep with a broad brush. We're talking about just a few at the top. It's not the average rank and file guy. But serious misconduct at the highest levels in our government. Sarah reports multiple sources saying that the fired FBI deputy director issued a stand-down order during the initial phases of the FBI's investigation into Hillary's private email server. Why? To protect her? James Comey writing the exoneration before the investigation? Before the interview of Hillary and 17 other key witnesses. Peter Strzok conducted the Hillary investigation, a Trump hater. We expect more of those emails to come out today, by the way. Anyway, according to Sarah Carter and a sources, quote, McCabe was overseas when he became aware of the investigation and he sent electronic communications voicing his displeasure with the agents. One FBI official told Sarah Carter, quote, McCabe tried to steer people off the private email investigation and that appears to be obstruction and should be investigated. This is on the heels of the IG report. We just put it up on our website again. Newt Gingrich wrote a great column about this yesterday. Read Rosenstein's letter as to why Comey, the FBI will never be repaired if Comey stayed. A stinging indictment against Comey and his handling of the FBI. This is his number two guy. And McCabe said that this high-ranking Justice Department official expressed concerns about the FBI agents taking overt steps in the Clinton Foundation investigation during the presidential campaign, showing that the rank and file were doing their job. That's what they do. And it's clear that during the 2016 presidential election, the deep state, clearly these people we talk about at the highest levels were alive and well. Think about it.
Hillary was prosecuted or indicted for what we know were crimes, what would have happened in July of 2016? And they thought the whole way that Trump never had a shot. Maybe gaining favor, maybe Loretta Lynch, the tarmac meeting. Everybody wants favor. They want a new job, new administration, maybe a promotion of some kind. DOJ will make the 6 months of missing texts, apparently between Strzok and Page, available. That's interesting. We expect that by tonight on Hannity. We know that we're making some progress. Bob Goodlatte, Trey Gowdy, they're making strides in their efforts to hold the deep state accountable because they made a deal with the DOJ. They're now going to gain access to the documents surrounding the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton. You know, I'm told now that May 7th, look for that day or somewhere around there, that the IG is going to issue its report on this very topic after sifting through 1.2 million documents and interviews in the process. You know, this new report about Comey lawyering up is a big deal. Jeffrey Toobin saying what he did is illegal is a big deal. You know, we tried, Linda, how many times do we warn James Comey on this program?
You have the right to remain silent.
I tweeted it out. Writing this book was, I don't care how much he got paid for it, it was a dumb idea. Doing these interviews, dumb idea. Anyway, I've said so many times, this is the year of the boomerang. You know, if you actually look, you know, at the former FBI director and his answer for some of these actions, you know, I have been telling you, it is the biggest abuse of power, corruption, scandal in the history of the country. I've been telling you we're unpeeling layers of the onion. Many of you said, where is it? Where is it? When is it? It's literally happening right now before your eyes. And it's going to start happening more rapidly day by day. And the thing is, the media in this country has been missing in action, a terrible disservice to the American people. I'm sure they got Hannity news to talk about, as usual. Hannity, 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 you know, ridiculous. Because they don't like that they've been wrong and we've been right. It's a big part of it. And secondly, they just have such a, you know, Newt Gingrich was describing this to me today, and we'll interview him later. He actually was saying, you know, the minute Trump got elected, there was like a collective psychosis, that the traumatic event in everybody's life, because they never saw it coming. And they think they know better than with the American people. There's such an arrogance there. Look at Jim Acosta's comments. Wow. Talk about arrogance. Couldn't believe those comments. You know, that, you know, people are stupid, unstable, basically. Okay, if that's what you're going to say, it's sad for him to ridicule the people of this country. Shows how out of touch he is. All right, a deep dive into the deep state news, information you're never gonna get from your corrupt, your abusively biased, destroy Trump media. We're gonna have the very latest. We'll check in with Sarah Carter, her blockbuster report. We'll look at the legal issues involving Comey, what he's facing, with David Schoen and Greg Jarrett and Newt Gingrich, and more coming up straight ahead. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. It's 800. It's 941-SEAN if you want to join us. And joining us now, criminal civil rights attorney David Schoen, also Sarah A. Carter.com, investigative reporter Sarah Carter, and our friend Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Are you ready to unveil the title of your book, which is coming out in June, Mr. Jarrett, sir?
I am. It's called The Russia Hoax. The subtitle is The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. You can pre-order it. It's up on Amazon as well as Barnes and Noble.
We'll put it up on Hannity.com, too. The title is more true now than when you started writing it. Now, Greg's office is literally, what, two doors down from my office. And you know, when he's going to be on the show at night, sometimes I poke my head in because I'm nosy. And you've been pounding away at this. And you've also been sharing with me a lot of what you discovered. And you're literally writing the definitive book. But my question is, when you started, you didn't know you were even as right as you are now, did you?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I had written a column in October of last year called The Russia Hoax, and a follow-up column that talked about how the DOJ and FBI had cleared Clinton improperly and targeted Trump. But, you know, as I continue to write for the last 4 months, every day, more and more evidence emerged that reinforced what you believed, Sean, and what
and
I what came
people
to believe
like
as
Sarah,
well.
Like, and said, it, look, there's been a whole group of us, Sarah, Sebastian, you, John, you know, I'm going to forget, but Tom Fitton, who am I forgetting here? All, there's been a group of us, and we said it's layers of an onion, but now it's all happening. Everything we saw coming is happening. You know, I'll go to Sarah on this. Sarah, you saw what was going to happen with the deputy FBI director before anybody else. And we're saying it on the air. People weren't picking it up in the news. Now they're picking it up.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, there was just so much evidence out there, and there were sources, and there were people that, you know, this was moving forward. The IG was going to move forward. He did with his investigation. We saw the results of those investigations on McCabe and the fact that he leaked information and then subsequently lied about it numerous times under oath. There's still a lot more information that's going to be coming out from the Inspector General, but it was concerning because you're right, Sean, there were so many people on the outside, other journalists and people who were not focused in on what was happening there and what's been going on as far as this Russia, alleged Russia Trump campaign investigation, that they missed a lot of it. Now, some of the mainstream media did get certain things right. You got to give credit. You know, the Washington Post broke the story on the fact that the DNC and Hillary, you know, Clinton campaign was paying actually Fusion GPS for the dossier. That was a really big reveal. And Congress has been investigating, but this has been one fight after another. I mean, one big fight after another, not just from Congress, but from journalists investigating this. Greg, who's done amazing work on this, and especially on the legal side, has really made it, I guess, easy for the American people to understand the possible violations that occurred when going after Trump. But it has been exhausting. It's been very difficult. I know that we're not going to stop. We're going to continue to seek the truth. And that's something that I think the American public wants. And we want to ensure that our FBI and our other agencies, our intelligence agencies, are not being weaponized and used against a political opponent.
Let me ask, you know, it's funny because now we're watching the FBI director. All three of us thought it was a terrible idea for James Comey to, A, write his book. And all three of us said it was a bad idea for him to go on a book tour. We all predicted bad things would happen out of this. And now we see David Schoen that he's lawyered up, number one. And we also see, even of all people, Jeffrey Toobin, who's probably the worst so-called legal analyst in America, with a left-wing slant on everything, even he actually said the words that, in fact, it was an illegal leak and that he has real legal problems here. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it seems to be exactly right. I don't think we know the half of it yet. I mean, because of you folks, we're just starting to find out more about the relationship between Comey and Daniel Richmond, the so-called special government employee. That really triggers a lot of possibilities. You know, this is can only be a temporary appointment. So the question is, how long was he in this role? He's referred to in places as Comey's counselor, Comey's attorney, even. Well, he's to be employed by the agency, and he can't have any interest in conflict with the agency. That could be a crime. If the memos were leaked, knowing that Richmond, as they say now, has security clearance, and knowing that the purpose of any document being leaked that way was to take it to the media, depending on whether the document had classified information or not, could be a crime. There's a lot of serious things still to learn, and that's one of the many reasons why you have to keep digging. And another one is, you don't want to see McCabe just be the fall guy, and then they stop there. They stop with Comey because there's something funny going on with conflicting stories between McCabe and Comey and so on. You've got a lot more digging to do, and I know you're going to do it.
You know, Greg Jarrett, you were very outspoken for a long time now that James Comey is in legal jeopardy. And now here we are today, and what are we seeing? The very things that you said, of all people that he chose to be his lawyer, Patrick Fitzgerald, is also, you know, how many other people might he have, say, shared that information with? And wouldn't that be an illegal act each and every case?
Every individual who is unauthorized to receive those stolen government documents, and many of which may have contained classified information, would be separate crimes. I suspect, and I have it on pretty good information, that in addition to leaking those presidential memos to Daniel Richmond, he also leaked them to Patrick Fitzgerald. And now it appears that he's retained both Fitzgerald and Richmond as his counselors, which would invoke the attorney-client privilege to protect Comey from any discussions that he may have had with those individuals. It's a classic Comey Machiavellian move.
But does does it matter if he, in other words, you know, I thought I knew a lot about attorney-client privilege, which apparently right. I don't know. But the question is, would it matter if he's still leaking it to people that are unauthorized?
It just matters that Fitzgerald and Richmond couldn't be used as incriminating witnesses against Comey.
But the act itself,
if proven, would be crimes.
But it was also he said under oath, let's use his own words, that he said that he leaked it for the purpose of appointing a special counsel.
Yeah, I mean, that just underscores the nefarious motivation that Comey had. Yeah. And his best friend, ally, and partner ended up being the special counsel. It's an incestuous swamp, a cesspool of corruption.
Sarah?
Whether legally Professor Richmond can serve or ever served as Comey's counsel. The ever served question gives rise to the privilege question, because under 18 U.S.C. 202, his appointment is to the agency, not to Comey. Secondly, under Section 205, he can't, in any matter he's been involved with, represent a party against the government, which would be the case if he's representing Comey's interests now. There's some real problems there.
Yeah, Sarah.
Absolutely. I think another real problem, too, is how did he transmit that information to Richmond? See, the documents themselves were property of the FBI. I mean, he could say that they were his personal memoirs, but he actually classified some of those, and they were property of the FBI. So did he email them on an unsecured server? Did he walk them out and hand them to him? I mean, there's a lot of questions of how those documents were actually given to Richmond, and then Richmond's decision to leak the information from those documents to the New York Times. So there's trouble all the way around for Comey here.
Comey,
the questions they're going to ask.
Comey also, he doesn't realize this, but in his own congressional testimony, he said he wrote the memos in such a way so they could be used at work. Well, that defeats his claim that they were his personal property.
I'll tell you where the sequel to Greg's book may come. I don't know what's going to happen in these tribunals. I don't know what's going to happen with the criminal referrals, whether they'll go anyplace. But Mr. Perez didn't do anybody any favors, especially Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, by filing his lawsuit, because they will be subject to discovery. They'll be subject to being deposed under oath in those cases, and you should be able to ask them, the defendant should be able to ask them any question they want in any way related to this case or likely to lead to related information.
Where do we all see this going? In other words, I mean, we've had, since last week, we've got the IG criminal referral of Andrew McCabe. You believe, Sarah, and have reported that there's probably criminal charges right around the corner for him. Now James Comey, even Jeffrey Toobin, is saying that, in fact, that it was an illegal leak. We are all discussing that here. You know, remember, Christian Saucier, young man, worked on a submarine, took six pictures of inside the submarine, went to jail for a year. He was sentenced to a year in jail. And so the question I have, I guess, for all of you is, you know, with the criminal referrals of Hillary, Comey, Strzok, Page, we're expecting new Strzok Page emails tonight at some point that we should have on Hannity, and everybody in between and everybody involved here, where's this going to go? I'll let it, you know, you guys talk amongst yourselves, because I'm sure you all have a theory. Sarah, we'll start with you.
There's an entire general investigation right now, and he's looking at the issues surrounding the FBI's handling of the probe into Hillary Clinton, her use of a private email, private in which she sent classified documentation. So that is going to be the most fascinating part, because remember, it was Comey who decided to drop that. It was not left up to the DOJ. He didn't follow proper procedure. He was criticized by a number of people, even colleagues in the FBI, people that were involved in this investigation. There's issues with McCabe, as you know, I've reported recently. You know that McCabe, according to the sources that I spoke with, gave a stand down order on the Clinton email investigation. That's going to be something the Inspector General is looking at. We've only seen a fraction of the text messages of between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. We have seen none of the text messages.
I heard that there's explosive ones coming today. I haven't seen them yet. I've been waiting. Do you know about them? Is that true?
I heard they are explosive, and I know that they were preparing to get them today or even yesterday. So there's a lot of concern, too, that the DOJ held these for some time. There's going to be a big fight
to get this information
out to the public.
Yeah, I've heard they've had them for over a week now or somewhere around that. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
And they didn't tell anybody.
No, they kept it to themselves. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, Congress is fighting tooth and nail to get that public.
Yeah, it's a classic cover-up by the Department of Justice and the FBI. They've been trying to hide these documents for months under a congressional subpoena, and they haven't been responsive to it. And it really wasn't until Devin Nunes confronted in an office Rod Rosenstein and threatened to impeach him for failure to comply, that suddenly and magically old Rod decided to cough up the evidence, and now it's coming out in drips and drabs.
Yeah, what do you think, David? Where's it headed?
I wish they could sort of group it all under one umbrella. I'm afraid things are going off a little too randomly in too many different directions with too much discretion from too many individual prosecutors and otherwise. It's got to coalesce somehow. There's so much interrelationship. Part of me wishes everyone would take their jacks and go home. And we could get on with the business of the country, not one after another more special counsel. It may be special counsel for a broader investigation now and prosecution possibly. I don't know, but I guess you could say, in the words of a famous American soldier, they drew first blood. So,
well, I want to talk about the importance of this, too, because, you know, this was a concerted effort. I think Craig's title, frankly, nails it, you know, to undermine a duly elected president. And that effort still remains today. That has not gone away. Well, all right, we'll take a break.
Unabashedly so.
More with David Schoen, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, and your calls coming up. Newt Gingrich coming up. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity's show, Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter, David Schoen with us. As we look at the slow walking, now there's an agreement between the DOJ finally and Bob Goodlatte of the Judiciary Committee and Trey Gowdy of the House Government Reform Oversight Committee on the release of documents. Sarah, what is the latest in terms of when are we going to get? There's 1.2 million of them. When do we start seeing them, like the Strzok Page memos?
Well, like the Strzok Page memos, I'm hoping that we'll see a lot more of those coming up this evening. And as far as the other documents are concerned, remember, there's been a very big battle waged behind the scenes that the American people are not seeing in offices in Washington, D.C., at the DOJ, and on Capitol Hill to ensure that these documents are retrieved by Congress and that they're made available to the public. I think what's important here, out of those 1.2 million, and I've said this before in your show, Sean, they believe that there's a roughly 46,000 plus documents that pertain to these investigations that are essential for Congress to conduct proper oversight, and they want those documents. Now, it could be a lot more than that. That may be a low ball estimate, but remember, he asked for everything and he got everything.
We only have a short time. 15. I hate to do this to you guys. 15 seconds each, Greg.
Well, the documents will reveal bias in the Clinton email probe and the FISA abuses, but I don't trust the Department of Justice and the FBI to be honest and forthcoming.
David.
If we get the documents, there's absolutely no telling what they're going to show. This is the undoing of virtually every criminal defendant these days, what they've put in writing and forgot about, or never should have put in writing in the first place. It'll fill volumes.
Okay, I want to thank you all for being with us. The amazing work has gotten us to this point, and we expect those Strzok Page memos to be released any time, and new information on Comey. We'll have it all on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. Newt Gingrich and more coming up straight ahead.
First, I want to thank the voters of Congressional District 8 for putting their trust in me. And then I want to thank all of the supporters, all of the people that have worked so hard on this campaign. Every night that I went into the Sun City headquarters, I saw people on the phones. I saw people walking door to door. And that's what you guys, you are the ones that helped me win. I sure as heck never would have dreamt in a million years that I would be running for Congress and be a Congresswoman. I mean, wow. That's right. Now I don't say running for Congress. I won. This is awesome.
I think that was one of the best victory speeches I think I've ever heard. A Republican win yesterday in Arizona, Debbie Lesko. Wow, that just, you know, it's supposed to be the people's house. That's why I love that story. That's why I love that speech last night. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. We do have polls out today that I think are worthwhile as we head into the 2018 midterm elections. And McLaughlin & Associates provided to Breitbart News shows support for the president and great suspicion of the investigator, the special counsel, Robert Mueller. There are stories out today, one from Rahm Rambo Deadfish Emanuel. He's warning Democrats, you better tamp down on the impeachment talk. He said that to at an Axios event in Chicago. And he warned Democrats, don't use the impeachment of Trump as a political tool. And when asked if it was a good issue for the Democrats in 2018 in the midterms, he said, I lived through the Clinton White House. This is a serious, legal, and consequential non-political issue. My view is that there's nothing there today that we know. And I'm angry what he's done, but it's legal, constitutional standard. Now, what's even more interesting, there was another article out yesterday where Nancy Pelosi was stressing that what's key for the Democrats is to focus on economic instability for so many people in the country. Meanwhile, the economic numbers have never been better. But there's an increasing concern among those on the left. The liberals are getting concerned that the media's focus is on stormy, stormy, stormy. So they're concerned that is going to hurt their chances in the midterms. 14 states now in the country that are experiencing record, let me repeat, record low unemployment in this country. On top of that, record low unemployment for African Americans, record low unemployment for Hispanic Americans. As we begin to take the pulse as we head into 2018, joining us now is John McLaughlin, the pollster, founder of McLaughlin & Associates. Doug Schoen, pollster, author, political analyst, Fox News contributor. You know, it's very interesting as we watch this. I actually think that the 2018 election is going to evolve into a very simple question. And it's going to be, do you want these Democrats to basically bring us back to the Obama track record? And do you want them to overturn a duly elected president? Because that's where they're headed, John McLaughlin.
I think you're exactly right, because ironically, Doug used to work for Bill Clinton. And the poll you're talking about, we did in conjunction with Dick Morrison. It was released today. It's on Breitbart. It's also up on our website on McLaughlinOnline.com. The voters, they don't think Mueller's found any real evidence of corruption. What do you know? Only 33% said yes, 51 said no. And by 10 points, they said Mueller's not uncovered any evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians to influence the election. Only 33% said he has, 43% said he did not. The rest don't know, so they haven't seen it. And by a margin of plurality of 43 to 34, they say the investigation has overstepped its purpose, and they see it going beyond the bounds. And finally, the real number is that the majority of Americans, and these are 1,000 likely voters across the country, released it today, by 52 to 32, they say the investigation being conducted by the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, has gone on for too long and has cost too much. So they're losing patience. They don't see any results. If anything, the results is it shows that it's just aggravating partisan divisions in the country and not producing any real results. And I go back ironically with Doug. He worked for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was impeached and he was able to withstand it. Why? Because the economy was getting better. America was seen as stronger in the world. He'd done things like workfare. So the people are able to say, if you can do your job, we will support you and reelect you. And what all this, to to me, this investigation is all about is stopping Trump from being a successful president. Because when his policies succeed, the Republicans will gain House seats, they will win, will gain Senate seats, and there'll be a stronger party for it.
Unbelievable. Let me go to, look, I actually don't want, I shouldn't even put Doug Schoen on the program anymore because he's about to give Democrats good advice, is my guess, knowing Doug as well as I know him. But, you know, we do know impeachment is on the table for all these Democrats. We also know that they're Stormy obsessed when they should all be concerned about Mueller exceeding his mandate by a long shot here. And when they talk about gun control and repealing the tax cuts and bringing back Obamacare, I don't think those are big sellers.
Sean, as you well know, I have counseled the Democrats to ignore the issues of what you call stormy, and to ignore impeachment and to focus on the fact that it is the Congress and a Republican Congress that has only delivered one piece of legislation that arguably helps many red states and hurts a lot of blue states, and that health care hasn't gotten done, and that there are a whole host of economically related issues that can be addressed by a divided Congress if the Democrats win the House. Additional job training, additional vocational opportunities.
Yeah, but 14 states have record low unemployment numbers.
I understand.
Lowest unemployment numbers for Hispanic Americans, African Americans. Three and a half million jobs have been created. Energy independence. Look at the success abroad in Asia, China, the Korean Peninsula. I mean,
40 Republicans not running. The swing in the special election from a 20-point Trump margin to a 6-point Lesko margin is it augurs well. And given that there's the non-deductibility of state and local taxes now in states like California, Oregon, Washington, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, there's enough seats there to win the House. It was a monumental miscalculation by the Republicans, only exceeded by the monumental miscalculation by the Democrats to focus on impeachment and redistribution. So I think it's going to be a tough race, but the generic vote is still 6 or 7 pro-Democrat. Trump's underwater. I think this is going to be a real fight. The best thing the Democrats could do is what Conor Lamb did in 86, Nancy Pelosi.
What do you think that for the Republicans, do you agree that it's going to come down to a referendum on the Democrats' left-wing agenda and their constant reprisal? No agenda, really, except stormy, Russia, and impeach Trump and hate Trump.
Oh, I hope it doesn't for the Democrats' sake, because if it does, they'll lose. They're going to try to make it about the Republican failures in Congress, Paul Ryan, and most of all, Mitch McConnell. I think the president will, if they're smart, largely not be an issue, and that they should talk about compromise on issues like immigration, where if they did the wall in exchange for DACA, it would be a win-win for both sides. So I think the Democrats will
overreach. Think the Democrats would take that deal even. I mean, the president's offered DACA 100 different ways, and they want to keep it for a midterm campaign issue. There's a story that was out in the Hill, I think this was yesterday, and it's called The Great Exodus Out of America's Blue Cities. And John, as you do a deep dive into this thing, you know, what you're seeing is that more Americans have decided that they don't want to live in these high taxed, high property states. More than 1 million people have moved out of New York City since 2010, looking for greener pastures. You see the same mass exodus from California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, going to states that like Florida and Texas that have no state income tax. And as a result, you know what? Those states are all losing money, and they keep going back to the only thing they know, which is raising fees and raising taxes.
Right. And you're talking about a study that Art Laffer released and Steve Moore wrote about with him, and who helped Larry Kudlow with the president's tax cuts. But what's really important about that is there is another side to that. I'm a partisan like Doug is, but I'm a Republican where I'm a supply side or pro growth person. I'm helping a candidate named Bob Stefanski in Connecticut who's the front runner for the Republicans in the primary because he's promising to phase out the income tax. Could you imagine, you know, if you phased out the income tax in a state in the Northeast, people would move there. So we need to provide that contrast, and that's how we need to win the elections is by saying, you know, they're wrong and look at the results, look at the facts. I mean, look at the Trump economic record compared to the Obama economic record. And the real thing is, besides that poll that we released to you that we just discussed about Mueller and the investigation, Doug's got a point, because in the Arizona 8 race, Trump got 190,000 votes there. Yesterday, the Republican won by 6 points, but only 91,000 voters voted for. So there's 100,000 Trump voters in that district that did not come out in the special election. That's going on all over the country. If the Republicans in the House and the Senate want to win, they have to work with the president, not just to pass his policies and support him on important things and get the votes in the Senate and the House. They also have to work on draining the swamp, because in this other poll that we released today, 1,000 people, we ask, is the Republican leadership helping drain the swamp or supporting the swamp that President Trump promised to drain? And 46% said they're supporting the swamp. Only 17% said helping to drain it. And that's including 39% of the Trump voters. And when we ask them about, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, is it important to eliminate the influence of the D.C.-centric professional bureaucrats, media, and insider elites who are called the swamp from the way Washington works, 60% of the voters agreed with eliminating them. Only 6% said they weren't concerned. The way that Trump got elected was, besides standing on conservative principles, he fought on a populist agenda against Washington, against the D.C. establishment. And our problem is our House and Senate standing with that.
You know, everybody predicted this was going to be a big blue wave. They predicted it in Texas. It fizzled out. They predicted it in the seat that took place last night in Arizona. Debbie Lesko, the winner in that particular special election, they were wrong there. Look, we have been around the block, all three of us, for a long time. And Doug Schoen, I think the bottom line is nobody really is going to know until we get into October, November, which way this is likely headed. And I still think this ultimately becomes a referendum on whether you give power back to the Democrats with their horrible record, and the Democrats that would undo these taxes and bring back Obamacare and probably try to impeach Donald Trump. That's what the election is going to be, a referendum on do you want the Democrats to drag the country through impeachment or not?
I want them to talk about a positive pro-growth agenda that preserves the social safety net and makes it clear that they will compromise where appropriate with the Republicans. I'm a Connor Lamb Democrat. I believe that's where the country is and needs to go, and that will lead.
But even if they don't say it, if they get in a room and they say, okay, we're going to do it, but don't tell anybody, it's still not going to work, because the American people know they've said it enough up to this point.
Well, I think that there is enough reason to make it clear that they are going to say no to a left-wing agenda and no to Nancy Pelosi, that is the ticket.
Who are the moderate Democrats? They don't exist. The Scoop Jackson Democrats don't exist. Joe Lieberman's John McLaughlin don't exist anymore.
Well, you know what? They exist when they have to exist for their own survival. You saw examples of this yesterday with Mike Pompeo, okay? So he's up to be Secretary of State. The Democrats, the left-wing Democrats, don't want him because Pompeo may want Iran to stick to the deal and revise that bad deal that Obama did with him. And guess what? Three Democrats announced for the guy. McCaskill in Missouri, Donnelly in Indiana, Manchin in West Virginia. What do those three Democrats have in common? They're up for re-election this year in a state that Donald Trump won by 10 points. Or more. So if we want the Democrats to actually do what Doug wants them to do, we got to make them vote. Instead, you know, Senator Leader McConnell says he doesn't want them vote on making tax cuts permanent because Democrats might vote for it. Well, let's make them vote for it.
Plenty of
Democrats voted against it.
My biggest problem with the Senate is Mitch McConnell. I mean, I think we have gotten to the point where things are so divided, and Doug might agree with us. You know what? We can't have it. Almost it's time for the simple majority in the Senate so that people in power can actually get things done. Would you agree or disagree, Doug Schoen?
I disagree, because I believe in bipartisan consensus. I believe in conciliation. And I think the nuclear option is going to take us away from the way we have governed, should govern, and hopefully will govern.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Doug Schoen and John McLaughlin, 800-941. Schoen is our number. Newt Gingrich at the top of the hour. We'll talk about this, the latest on James Comey, the deep state, and much more as we continue an amazing Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour here on the Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. A lot of news today, and James Comey and his new attorneys and how many people he leaked to. And James Comey, of course, even Jeffrey Toobin of CNN acknowledging he is in legal jeopardy based on his behavior. Our friend Newt Gingrich is with us. By the way, he's got a brand new book out. Remember, he wrote the book about Donald Trump. It became a massive, huge bestseller with incredible insights. And I actually would recommend people go back and read it, because everybody expects that all of a sudden one day Donald Trump's going to wake up and start acting like George Herbert Walker Bush. And it's never going to happen. He is who he is. He ran as a disruptor, as a revolutionary, in a sense, as an iconoclast. And he's going to govern like one. That's why things are actually getting done. And the speaker's following it up with a new book called Trump's America, which is, by the way, on Amazon.com. We put it up on Hannity.com. Also, his latest article on Comey and McCabe. Mr. Speaker, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back. And I must say, I was very surprised. I finally went and did the old-fashioned original research of actually reading the original Rosenstein memo to President Trump about Comey, and then reading the Inspector General's report about Comey, coming about McCabe. And I urge everybody to get the original. In fact, I was just talking with your folks about posting the two original documents on your website, because when you read, Rosenstein closes his memo about Comey to the president and says, as long as he's here, we will never fix the FBI. Now, it is so definitive about Comey's failure that I think it was a tragedy that the president didn't just relax, be calm, and decide that he would release the document, let the entire country read it, and then, at that point, have a real breakthrough. Because what happened was, people focused on the president's action as though he was doing it out of the clear blue. The minute you read Rosenstein's memo, you realize no responsible president had any choice except to fire Comey. So it's truly remarkable, the gap between,
you know, we forget the small stuff.
What was actually there.
You know, yesterday, it's funny that you're doing the same thing on parallel paths here, because, you know, after all, you know, I regurgitate every day the seriousness of the abuse of power. And how deep this runs, and FISA abuse, and rigging an investigation, and crimes that were committed, and lying to FISA judges, and purposely misrepresenting the truth to them, omitting very key information. And then I said, whatever happened to the 33,000 emails? Do we have them? Is there a chance they still exist? Because I doubt there were 33,000 emails about yoga, a wedding, and a funeral, and emails to a husband that doesn't email. And it's interesting, because there is a possibility that those emails still exist, but yet nobody has any urgency to find them, which I think would take us a long way into understanding more about all of this. And I think your point is well taken, too, when Rosenstein made the recommendation.
Well, remember that it also is coming out now that apparently the Obama White House at one point in August of 2016 did actively interfere and urge McCabe to not pursue the Clinton investigation. My feeling about all of this is all of it keeps coming out, all of it keeps grinding away. We have more and more lawyers who are independent getting engaged, and it's really, really, I think, going to keep going. I believe both Comey and McCabe now have very serious legal problems involving criminal behavior. In the sense that clearly in McCabe's case, he broke the law, and the inspector general is definitive about that. And in Comey's case, he publicly said in a testimony to the Congress that he leaked documents to a friend of his at a university for that guy to then give it to the New York Times. That's illegal. I mean, it's not like, oh, gee, that was bad judgment. That is explicitly against the law.
For all those people out there, you know, that think that anybody takes joy, nobody should take joy in the types of things and abuse of power we're talking about. But the level at which it happened is scary, because if we don't fix it, the country's never going to get fixed. And a lot of it, I think, is discovered. Even Jeffrey Toobin, the left winger that he is, almost always wrong, said that James Comey, when he took those memos that recounted those conversations, and again, we now know some of them had classified information, and he leaked them, he acknowledges that as an illegal leak, and there probably are multiple ones, and it seems like that's why the two attorneys that he has now hired were hired, because,
it would appear that they may have been the ones leaked to. Why, we know the Columbia one in particular.
And remember, one of the first things that a defense lawyer does is he tells you to shut up. Yet here's Comey in the middle of a nationwide book tour, and every time he does an interview, he runs the risk of perjuring himself, further contradicting his stories, or releasing some other crime that we hadn't heard about. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of different things going on here that I think people need to realize that this is, and I think you put it right, when you have the number one and the number two people at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, thousands and thousands of honest, decent agents out there trying to enforce the law, trying to do exactly what the FBI is designed for. But the top two guys clearly were doing things that are genuinely dangerous. If that became the pattern, then we start drifting towards Venezuela or Cuba or one of those countries where...
It's so funny. I've been saying the exact same thing, making the exact same comparison. If in other words, if you can lie to a FISA judge in the weeks leading up to a campaign and purposely mislead them and purposely omit information and never verify or corroborate that which became the bulk of a FISA warrant to spy on an American, a campaign associate of Trump in an election year, and then renew it, subsequent applications three times, we've got a problem. And if Hillary, who we know committed multiple crimes, has an investigation fixed with an exoneration before investigation, we're in trouble.
Well, none of that. Let's be really clear. Had she won, we would have learned none of this.
Nothing.
I mean, the corruption would have just gotten deeper. It would have gotten deeper. It would have gotten worse. The system would have gotten sicker. I mean, we are very lucky to have dodged the potential for the top people in the Justice Department to all have been involved in a conspiracy to violate the law and to undermine the rule of law. And I think that's part of what makes this so important. And the reason that I wrote my column and the reason that I'm so glad you're going to post these documents on your web pages, people don't need to believe me. Read the Inspector General's report, 39 pages. Read Rod Rosenstein's report, which is about 4 pages. And it is devastating.
Devastating.
And so here you got people who are professionals, not Donald Trump, not Newt Gingrich, not Sean Hannity, but the very professionals in the Justice Department saying that Comey was so bad, the closing line by Rosenstein is, Comey is so bad that the FBI will never be fixed as long as he's still there. I would challenge anybody to read that paragraph and tell me, if you were the President of the United States, wouldn't you feel compelled at that point to replace him?
Of course you had to. And we now know in retrospect. I mean, look at how petty this book of his is. The president wasn't as tall as I thought. He's like a mobster. Oh, he's orange and he has white under his eyes and his hands weren't as big as my hands. And I'm thinking this is pretty remarkable for a man that holds himself, a higher loyalty, as he said. And now even CNN lawyers are saying he broke the law. Let me ask you about the upcoming elections. There's been all these predictions of a big blue wave. And we know historically midterms often go against the party in power in the White House. It didn't happen last night with Debbie Lesko, the winner in Arizona. Now, maybe Jim Acosta, who thinks the American voters are too stupid to see through Donald Trump, maybe that's the thinking of some people. Or when Nancy Pelosi and top Democrats we know have been openly talking about impeachment, people like Maxine Waters, and then she's saying when we win the House, we'll promote abortion and open borders, roll back the Trump tax cut. To me, that is the single worst agenda. We just had 8 years of that. Will that be successful for them?
No, I think the blue wave is going to turn into a blue trickle. I think last night was good, but I think that there are deeper things going on out there. When you have Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House, saying, we will raise taxes, it reminded me of Walter Mondale. I'm very happy for Democrats to run on an open border, maximum illegal immigration, raise taxes as high as you can, kill jobs and put people back on food stamps. If that's the Democratic Party they want to offer the American people, they're going to have a very long and very hard night. It's going to be exactly like 2016. Remember, at 8 o'clock on election night 2016, every liberal in the country was happy. By 10 o'clock, the American people had spoken, and every liberal was traumatized. I have a hunch when we get around to the real election this fall, we're going to have a very similar thing. I would also point out, we're going to test these guys. I mean, is the newly elected moderate Democrat senator from Alabama going to vote for Pompeo or not?
Mm-hmm.
We get all these campaign promises, and then somehow they cave as the liberals beat them up.
Well, or the more ironic thing is watching Claire McCaskill and and Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin just for political expediency in an election year. Oh, we'll support Pompeo. And we all know if it was next year after the election and they were still in office, they wouldn't.
That's right. But there's a sign the system works. The American people, they communicate hard enough, folks begin to get the message. And I think also tells it that the President Trump has a tremendous amount of latent support in places which have Senate races up this year. And he is having an impact. And I think, frankly, he's also being helped by the visit this week by Macron, the president of France. I think it went over very, very well. Pretty hard for me to see how anybody who's in any way reasonable could spin it as anything except it was a great visit, very successful. He has Chancellor Merkel here. Anybody who doubted that Trump could, in fact, be an effective president of international order, I think that's all over. And I think
week for him. The biggest unreported story, well, number one, he had the coalition with France and Great Britain as it results in Syria. Nobody knew that was coming or saw that coming. Then look at China has now capitulated on issues of tariffs, intellectual property rights, and other issues. Everybody was saying just weeks ago that he was going to start a nuclear war with North Korea. And lo and behold, now we have little Rocket Man coming to the table and seriously, we believe, talking about denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Time will tell. Trust and verify. We understand all of that. But then his meetings with the Prime Minister of Japan and then all these leaders in Europe that he has met and from all around the world, it is and a possibility of peace with a new dynamic alliance between Israel, the U.S., the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Saudis, the Emirates. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody.
That's right. And I think you have to give him a lot of credit. And then, frankly, when I look at negotiating with North Korea, which I'm glad he's doing, I'd much rather have him talk with Kim Jong-un than have him have any risk of serious war on the peninsula. But think about it for a second. This is now going to be negotiated with John Bolton, Pompeo and Mattis as the key players with the president.
All amazing people.
I somehow don't think it's going to be sloppy or that Kim Jong-un is going to be able to pull the wool over their eyes. These are very seasoned, very
not even close.
People. And I get a sense that he wants a deal. I mean, I think he actually does want to somehow break out of the isolation he's in.
By the way, his country desperately needs it. And you know what? In the end, he gives up his nukes. He will have world help. Could be a moment like the wall coming down in a sense that, you know, North and South Korea, who knows what can happen. Well, all right, as we continue, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich is with us. You know, I was with you in the years when you were Speaker. I was emceeing your event that night. Everybody knows our history. And I thought things were bad when you were Speaker. I've never seen a media so contemptuous of a White House or a president, so rooted in denial and conspiracy as they are now, and deep state actors, not rank and file intelligence, CIA and FBI, but the upper echelon involved in such nefarious corruption and abuse of power in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like it. You lived through some hard times. How do you compare?
Well, I don't think they are comparable for two different problems, but they reinforce each other. On the one front, you have very senior people in the bureaucracy, I mean very senior, who decided that the American people were wrong and they had to protect America from the choice of the American people. And these folks, you know, the director of national intelligence, Clapper, apparently, and I'm genuinely surprised, I've known Clapper for many years, but he apparently was totally in the tank on this stuff. I knew that Obama's CIA director was in the tank, but I mean, he'd always been sort of a left-winger anyway. You then find, of course, as we've been talking about, that the Justice Department had problems, the head of the FBI, the number two guy at the FBI, the White House clearly was engaged. I mean, all of these things are astonishing at that level. Then you have in the news media a level of hostility, which I am convinced, and you've heard me say this before, I am convinced was in part created because at 8 o'clock on election night, they all knew Hillary was going to win, and they were all about to pop the corks and celebrate. And at 10 o'clock that night, they had the horrifying reality that not only did she lose, but Donald J. Trump was going to be president. And I think they suffered a psychotic event from which they have never recovered.
And by the way, really just to add a little cherry on top, it meant Newton and Hannity were right.
Well, I know. That makes it worse. If they turned to watch Fox that night and just go. But my point is, and I really mean this in a serious
We only got about 20 seconds.
Away.
Yeah.
Well, the very shock has made it impossible for the elite media to cover Donald Trump, honestly.
I hate that you came up with better lines than me. It triggered a psychotic, a collective psychotic meltdown. That's the truest statement ever spoken. Mr. Speaker, thank you. Those articles are up on Hannity.com, and we appreciate it. We look forward to your new book, too. I'm excited about this one. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. We'll hit the phones when we get back.
To Boston, you said things like, and I jotted these down, what you said, did the FBI did an excellent job, did a thorough job, don't know what else we could have done. And according to the Russians, there's a great deal more that could have been done. And when we find out about this this sensitive operations review committee, and as this article points out, if it's true, it says that we don't know who the chairman and members are of this sensitive operations review committee, who the staff, that's kept secret. The FBI never canvassed Boston Mosque until 4 days after the April 15th attacks. If the Russians tell you that someone has been radicalized and you go check and see the mosques that they went to, then you get the articles of incorporation, as I have, for the group that created the Boston Mosque, where these Sarnievs attended, and you find out the name Alamudi, which you'll remember because while you were FBI director, this man who was so helpful to the Clinton administration with so many big things, he gets arrested at Dulles Airport by the FBI, and he's now doing over 20 years for supporting terrorism. This is the guy that started the mosque where your Sarnievs were attending, and you didn't even bother to go check about the mosque. And then when you have the pictures, why did no one go to the mosque and say, who are these guys? They may attend here. Why was that not done since such a thorough job was done?
Your facts are not altogether well.
All right, point out specifically.
May I finish my
point out specifically. Sir, if you're going to call me a liar, you need to point out specifically where any facts are wrong.
We went to the mosque. Prior to Boston happening, we were in that mosque talking to the imam several months beforehand as part of our outreach efforts.
So were you aware that those mosques were started by Alamudi?
I've answered the question, sir.
You didn't answer the question. Were you aware they were started by Alamudi? No. You were not. Okay. Thank you.
People have got to come to the to the realization Mueller is not an honest, honorable man. He is out to get his people that he doesn't like, and he will do anything to bring them down. There is nobody in America that needs firing more than Mueller. He needs not only to be fired, he needs to be investigated for his part in helping the Clinton Foundation make $145 million from the sale of uranium when nobody knew more than Mueller did about the investigation, about the Russian efforts to get our uranium. He participated. He needs to be the target, not investigating. Right. And so nobody deserves to be fired more than he does. But from a political standpoint, when you got people like Lindsey Graham and other Republicans say, oh, no, if he fires Mueller, we're going to have to impeach him. He can't do it politically. Mm-hmm. So what needs to be done,
all right, we have to go.
We need to fire Rosenstein. He's got to go. And we need the appointment of a second counsel to investigate Comey, his leaks,
right.
Mueller, and Rosenstein. All of them need to be investigated. It's going to take a second counsel to do that.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. You know, throughout this entire ordeal, as we now hear from even rank-and-file FBI people and intelligence people and CIA people, that are upset over the leadership aspects of certain people, this upper echelon that was now coming to light, McCabe and Comey, et cetera. Well, that was Louis Gohmert interviewing Robert Mueller and then commenting afterwards about Robert Mueller. And the interesting thing is, I keep asking one question, why would a guy ever appoint Andrew Weissman as his so-called pit bull, as the New York Times described him? And a guy that was involved in tens of thousands of Americans losing their job, losing 9-0 in the Supreme Court. Merrill executives, four of them go to jail for a year. That's overturned in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, being excoriated by a judge for withholding exculpatory evidence. You have to ask some serious questions. Why would somebody appoint anybody that had a track record like that?
Now, Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas joins us now. That was a pretty testy exchange with Robert Mueller. And as I was listening, I realized that even though he was the FBI director, many people wouldn't recognize his voice ever.
Well, you're right. And, man, that guy sure was, he sure talks a lot, that guy that was questioned, but I guess that was me. But anyway, I tell you, Mueller does need to be investigated, and I am so grateful that you have done an e-publish of the book. I started to just do an article on Mueller and all of the things people need to know about how dirty his background is. And, you know, for example, most people never knew what happened to Kurt Weldon. He was a congressman from Pennsylvania. He was blasting the FBI in 2005 and 6, which was my first term here. And he was saying the FBI should and could have done more to stop 9/11, and they didn't. And I don't know whether the things he was saying was true or not, but he was blasting the FBI and Mueller. And lo and behold, a few weeks before his election, he had won election after election with a very comfortable lead. A few weeks before his election, he was his daughter's office was raided, and somebody leaked from the FBI that they were going to raid. The press was all out there, and then they had signs. It was an organized protest. He lost the election, and nothing ever happened. But it was the rumors the FBI let out had to come from them, where he was dirty, he was taking bribes, all kinds of things. And then as soon as he lost the election, nothing happened. And a year later, they contacted the Weldons and said, come get your stuff. We're not doing anything. Obviously, there was one purpose to doing a raid that was leaked to the press in Mueller's FBI, and it was to shut up Kurt Weldon. And they were effective in doing that. And there was nothing other than political manipulation. So that's why I get so tired of ignorance in the House or Senate among people that say, oh, Mueller is honorable. He'll do an upright job. He has done a job all right on many Americans, and they have not been treated fairly. And if he had done his job on the Sarnievs after they were given two leads on the older Sarnia being radicalized, then those people at Boston would not have had to be killed. But if people, your listeners, picked up on it, he said, we did go to those mosques in our part of our outreach program. That's where they go sit on the floor, play patty cake, and talk about how nice things are. But he made clear they never went and asked a single question about Sarnieff, and people died.
Let me ask you this question, and this to me is the most fundamental. Why do you appoint a guy like Andrew Weissman and then appoint only Democratic donors? And how does anybody do that with any appearance of at least trying to be fair? Is Robert Mueller, by making, as the New York Times says, Andrew Weissman the pit bull with his atrocious track record, you know, is Robert Mueller basically saying that he wants somebody with that record to be his main number one guy? Doesn't it taint an investigation to have only Democratic donors like this and somebody with that track record like this appointed as your head guy?
You bet it does. And the thing is, apparently Mueller had worked with Weissman before. He had seen what a pit bull he could be. And if you go back, nobody has talked about this more accurately than you have, Sean, about the Russian Uranium One investigation. But if that had not been squelched by Rosenstein and Mueller, then the sale of our uranium would not have happened. It had to be approved by CFIUS. It's the board that approves foreign investments in U.S. And they squelched that investigation. You've talked about it. We know that there were crimes committed, and they pushed those under the radar so the sale could go through. If it had not gone through, you and I know they would never have gotten $145 million into the Clinton family trust, and Bill would not have gotten $500,000 to go do a speech for 20 minutes. So this is corruption at its worst, and Mueller and Weissman and Rosenstein, they have worked together, and nobody needed the Russia investigation supplanted more than Rosenstein and Mueller. And for heaven's sake, he has got to go. Now, you and I talked about it. We know Mueller, if he's fired, then all hell's going to break loose. It shouldn't, but it would. And the president doesn't need that. But Rosenstein's got to go. People are saying, well, Jeff Sessions ought to be fired. That is what the left is hoping and praying for, because then some Republicans like Lindsey would turn against the president, and they would get Rosenstein in charge of the FBI with all his dragoons, all of the problems he's brought with him. He would be in charge. It's the last thing we need. So we've got to have Jeff buck up. We have got to have him understand who his friends are and who they aren't. He's doing a fantastic job going after illegal immigration, but he's got people around him still that he can't trust, like Tosh Gahar that works for Rosenstein that tries to keep him in the dark on intelligence matters. She needs to go. He needs somebody else answering directly to him about intelligence matters. But but Rosenstein and Mueller, they are the people that need to be investigated, and Comey is right there with them.
What about the leaks, though? Share. I mean, now that we know that James Comey, which is, again, big news today, leaks this information for the very purpose, which is illegal because of the security nature of of what is in these letters. And of course, it's privileged. And the only person that gets to waive any of this is the president himself. That didn't happen. But the idea that that was all predicated on an illegal act for the very purpose of getting a special counsel appointed, I would think logically on its face that it should be just rendered by the courts. Illegal and an abuse of power, but I don't see that happening like you do, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, the FISA courts that we were been told for years, they could be trusted. That's where we need to have secret clandestine operations addressed that have to be addressed in court. But I tell you what, having been a felony judge and a chief justice, I can tell you any judge in their situation after having fraud committed upon the court the way it was over the Carter Page warrant, and they to go back four times and have the warrant both signed and then re-upped for 90 more days, three more times. And Rosenstein was participating in that, knowing that it was a fraud. For those judges not to have put some of those lawyers in jail, including Rosenstein and Mueller, over the fraud they committed on the FISA court, it tells me the FISA courts cannot be trusted. And I'm talking to other members here. We need to get rid of the FISA courts. Those judges can't be trusted. And then you find out more about the judges involved. So it's a scary situation right now. Our form of government is hanging in the balance. We have got to stand strong. We have got to get Rosenstein, Mueller, and Comey completely exposed. And as we found out, and I didn't know till after you did that the guy to whom Comey leaked the information to get it to the New York Times, Comey had him assigned as an FBI employee, unpaid employee, so he could roam of the DOJ building. That's pretty staggering in and of itself.
We got to take a break. Louis Gohmert, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. I can't put together a better TV show than we have tonight, anticipating even more struck page text messages that have been going back and forth, apparently very revealing. Again, the DOJ slow walking. Why? Why does it always have to come to a crisis? Now, we have Devin Nunes tonight. We have Mark Meadows tonight. We have Michelle Malkin tonight. We have Tom Fitton. He got all these new 275 new Hillary emails that had never been released before. Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter, Joe DeGeneva, Jesse Waters versus Jessica Tarlov, and much more. That's all coming up, but you got to set your DVR. That's tonight, Hannity. All this breaking news should happen between now and then. and we'll bring it to you on the Fox News Channel. As always, we thank you for being with us, and we will see you tonight at 9, and we'll be back here tomorrow, and thank you for always being with us.